The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
I am Lucas Kitchen. Welcome to Grace in Focus. In today's episode, we will not only answer this question, but we want to open the invitation for you to send your questions in as well. You can do that by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Here's one from Dan. Now, we've all heard these two phrases. Dan says, many Christians use the phrases thorn in the flesh and cross to bear. And what do you see as the difference between the two?
Okay, well, that's a good question. And hopefully this wouldn't be a long answer. Thorn in the flesh is specific to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul received some affliction. Most commentators think it was some sort of eye disease where he couldn't see well, and it affected his ability, evidently, to see clearly. And he calls that a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times that the Lord would take it away, and God said his grace was sufficient for Paul, and that God wanted him to have it. And evidently, God gave it to him so Paul wouldn't become exalted in his own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a cross to bear is different. Thorn in the flesh, maybe there's another one I'm not remembering, but that seems to me that's only there.
It was particular to Paul, right? And he also calls it a messenger of Satan.
Yeah.
So some other people think it's someone who is opposing Paul's apostleship. And so someone who just keeps on haranguing him about his ministry. But that, either way, it's Paul. That's
right.
Paul.
But the cross to bear, Jesus said, Matthew 16:24-28, he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Right.
And so taking up your cross is part of discipleship. If anyone coming after Jesus is discipleship, coming to Jesus is salvation. That's believing by faith. But coming after him is being a follower of Christ, and following him is a discipleship concept. And that requires denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him on the path he took, which was to the cross as well.
Yeah.
And so taking up our cross is different than thorn in the flesh. Let's give an example. Let's say, for instance, that you're sharing your faith with a loved one.
Yeah.
And that loved one starts cussing you and ridiculing you and calling you an idiot. That would be a cross for you to bear.
Sure.
Now, if you were to say something inappropriate to someone.
If I'm being a jerk.
If you're being a jerk.
Someone says, Sean, you're a big jerk.
That's not a cross.
I'll say, oh, Jesus, I'm just like you.
No.
You're just being a jerk and you're suffering the consequences.
But if they persecute you because you're doing what God says to do, that is a cross. But that's not a thorn in the flesh, at least not in the typical sense. Now, I could see how someone might say, okay, a thorn in the flesh could, in some sense, be like a cross to bear, but I don't look at it that way. I think a thorn in the flesh would be some sort of physical ailment that's going to go with you to the grave. So, for example, let's say that I have tendonitis in my right shoulder, which I do, and let's say it's not correctable. In my case, I probably could have surgery, but I'm not big on surgery unless I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of a thorn in my flesh. Or if I have knee pain, when I was 45, I was running and I started experiencing hip and knee problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up and switched to race walking because, again, I didn't want surgery on my knee and I didn't want to go through what probably would have become multiple surgeries on my knee. And I just figured I'd rather do race walk. So it's kind of a thorn in the flesh I've had. If you have some sort of a disability, well, a disability is some sort of lack of ability in some area, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you have that disability, it doesn't mean you can't function, but it is a thorn in the flesh.
All right.
But that's different than taking up your cross. An unbeliever can have issues in their flesh. A believer can have issues in the flesh that have nothing to do with whether they're following Christ or not.
All right. So a thorn in the flesh is just, you know, some adversity that you might have in your body or health. A cross to bear is specifically kind of like what, opposition because of your following Christ?
Right.
Okay, here's a question from Martin. Martin says, there's a famous quote by Augustine, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things, he says clarity, but it's actually charity. In your opinion, what are those essentials and non-essentials, and how does this relate to an individual versus the church? Yeah, I hear that quote. I've seen it attributed to Augustine, to Chrysostom, to everyone. Everyone gets attributed this quote to them.
I had not heard it to Augustine, but regardless of who said it, I think the basic point is we do find in Scripture that we are to be united in sound doctrine. And the question becomes, is there such a thing as non-essentials? For example, most people would say essentials would be the fundamentals of the faith. That would include the deity of Christ, justification by faith alone apart from works. It would be the virgin birth. It would be the Scriptures being without error. It would include the return of Christ, the coming of Christ, his kingdom, bodily resurrection from the dead, the cross of Christ, substitutionary atonement.
Right. Now, there's no verse or chapter in the Bible
that says that. Right. But most people would say those things are fundamental truths.
Yeah.
But the question becomes, are there non-essentials? For example, 1 Corinthians 11 says that women should wear head coverings when they pray or prophesy.
Yeah.
And at our church, when women pray out loud, they literally put on caps or hats or doilies or whatever. They don't wear them to church because they're not speaking in our Lord's Supper meeting.
Yeah.
But like when we have prayer meeting, the women will put on a hat. But many would say that's not what 1 Corinthians 11 means. They think long hair means that or something else. Maybe they think that's just something Paul was concerned about in the first century. Doesn't even apply today.
Right.
I would say, while that is Scripture and it is something that we should be doing, on the other hand, I don't consider that a vital issue. I don't consider that an issue on par with the ones I just mentioned.
Right. I guess part of the question is, what does it mean to have unity? Is Martin talking about going to the same church with people who might disagree on head coverings? I mean, what does unity mean there? I'm not quite sure. Unity in the local church, or are you just kind of hanging out with them as friends, or will cooperate with them in ministry?
Well, I think he also means, what did Tertullian or Augustine or Ambrose or whoever said this first, what did they mean by it? And I assume what they mean is, we're not going to be separating from other believers over lesser issues.
Right.
And that's certainly true. Romans chapter 14 establishes that the weaker brother may think that it's wrong to eat meat, and that's incorrect.
Yeah.
But we don't separate over that.
Well, yeah, this is kind of an ongoing study for me. What does the New Testament actually tell us to separate with people over? We have all these traditions. I have a bunch of books by fundamentalist authors on separation. And they're like, yeah, rock and roll music, separate. Women wearing pants, you got to separate. You got a beard? Oh, that's a separation issue. You know, they just have all these traditions.
You mean I have to separate from you, Sean, because you have a beard?
Well, okay. According to them. Yeah, according to them.
Or even glasses. I think wire rim glasses, some would say.
Maybe.
Or, for example, women wearing makeup. Some would say
that would
that's
be an issue.
Wrong.
But it just made me wonder, okay, we have all these traditions, and don't we want to be biblical? So what does the Bible say about separation? And so far what I found is it's almost all behavior issues. If you're divisive, then you separate from that guy.
Right.
If you're living in sexual immorality, you have to separate from that guy.
Right.
And by separate, it usually means don't eat with that person.
Which normally would mean these people are excluded from the Lord's Supper meeting if they're out of fellowship with God. Like 1 Corinthians 5 with the immoral brother.
Right. I think maybe you can say Galatians, you know, with the false gospel. That might be. He doesn't specifically say.
Let him be a curse suggests you're separating from him.
But it does suggest that. But he doesn't come out and say it exactly.
Right.
Or Jude talks about certain people being spots at the love feast.
Right.
Which kind of suggests that they're whatever those people are doing is supposed to be excluded.
Right.
But you don't get I haven't found a whole lot of details. I mean, everything in the Bible is true.
Right.
But I haven't found a whole lot of explicit commands saying we should separate over any disagreement over the truth.
Right.
You know? My studies are still ongoing. I'm not sure what to think.
Well, I think this is worthy of careful thought, and we should be biblical, not traditional.
Right.
So for me, I don't think there's any problem with women wearing pants because I don't think that's what the Old Testament was talking about when it talks about women wearing men's clothing.
Right.
Pants are not strictly men's clothing, at least not in our culture.
Yeah.
Lots of women wear pants and there's nothing wrong about it. On top of that, you know, the idea that men can't have beards is contradicted by the scriptures. I mean, men in scripture had beards routinely.
Right.
And a lot of the traditions we've picked up, it seems to me, are weaker brother kind of issues.
Right.
We've just created things. But on the other hand, if scripture clearly says you're to separate from another brother or sister, if they do this, that, or the other, or if they teach this, that, or the other, then we should separate.
I think maybe denying that Jesus came in the flesh, I think that was
one
of the few doctrinal kind of issues, it seems like. Or if you can't confess that Jesus is Lord. But that is so broad. I mean, anyone in Christendom basically would say Jesus came in the flesh or that Jesus is Lord.
Right, but I'd say doctrinally, Galatians 1:6-9 is pretty clear, and that's where he says, if anyone's proclaiming a false gospel, let him be accursed. Anathematize him. Separate from him.
Yeah.
And you also have that anathema, if anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. That's 1 Corinthians 16.
Yeah.
Now, that's an issue of both behavior and probably...
Yeah.
Something about what they say, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and
maybe
see,
what they believe.
I mean, and that would be pretty broad. I mean, I guess I couldn't deal with anyone because who loves Jesus fully? We all fail in that, right?
Right. Paul does say in 2 Timothy 4, he's fought the fight, finished the race, kept the faith, and there's laid up for him the crown of righteousness which the Lord will give him. And to all who have loved his appearing.
Yeah.
I think the main thing here would be this liberty. What
in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity.
Yeah. I'm not sure what in all things charity means. If you're excommunicating someone, is that charity? I guess it is. It's loving because you want them to come back.
You can do it in a loving way and in a restorative way.
Right.
Or you can do it in a vindictive way.
But I think the wise man knows that you're not going to go out of your way to fight with other brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just love to fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I find that we have some difference on some minor point, I'm going to just pick at them and argue with them.
Sure.
That's not wise.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the question, Martin, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our Wednesday edition, we're going to talk about how to deal with Reformed theology. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.